Blog Talk Radio.
I give you these jewels that you rarely find, and these niggas shoes fit me very fine. Catch me on these avenues, I'm trying to reach they mind. Man, you know that black power music, it gets no play and they ride until they put that brick in and now they feeling my vibe. I start to slowly see they fists on the rise, see it's intense from their eyes. It's kinda hard to come to grips, make the decision decide. I ain't gon' lie, it took some time to make some sense in my mind. Now all I feel is a sense of this pride, incorporated in these lyrics and this vision of mine. To make a change for my people, wish this wish to taste the sweeter. The pain runs deeper, you can feel it through the speakers, huh? 400 years of pain, turn the page. Every story looks the same. They snapping pictures as he hangs. Emmett Till was killed for whistling and being brave. And y'all still run asleep with the beast from the cave? My knocker say you should be ashamed. The black woman, the goddess, say she come in many shades with the power to create greatness. Her DNA melanated on display, absorbing these sun rays. Rah. I make a wonder as I'm building this collage. I feel the power of the people fully amplified live. My mission is to make a difference. Recognize I'm watching for the agents in disguise. I describe my struggle, my hustle kept it pushing like Lamar's, giving birth to a nation on the rise. As I scribe the soundtrack to the revolution, televised, telling lies, trying to stop the movement. So you gotta keep a semi like you came from Zamunda. And yes, I'm in my prime like the minister Lamoon, but it's the program for your system. I ain't talking about computers, speaking proper installation for a future. And don't you confuse it. Some people wild dated, so they might refuse it. Eternal glitches, so it's time to reboot them. Aim high, stay low, send a shot from the Ruger. Focus on our survival, formulate a conclusion. This is real, swear this ain't no illusion. Try to elude it, but you can't. Martial law, got the coppers in the tank. Renegade, got this bug out bag right by the door, just in case it's time to break. Make a movie, play the game, this high stakes. All across the country, I be on these highways, flying through these clouds to reach my people's mind state. Wide awake, I ain't sleeping with the sheeple. Rice is high, all power to the people. Black power got me charged up. Somebody check the meter, 9 ether. My locks hang freely as I praise my inner being. Child of the universe, I'm just sightseeing. As I take you on this tour to give you more. And I ain't talking nationality. Them pigs is at your door, can give a fuck about blacks, laws, act, corn gang family. These is definitions, just really your formality. I put power in the words that I speak in. Black absorbs all color. This is me, I am the walking constellation. Birthed by the galaxy, observation through telescopes. It couldn't capture what I see. I thought something in these books would make me feel more complete. Still searching, but I know I'm royalty. I'm a king, they tried to hide it, but I seek till I'm fatigued. No Marines are on me. To the chief, it kept it flowing like the Navy. Air forced them to retreat. Reenacted D-Day and drop bombs on the beat. Landmines on the track, beware where you place your feet. Yeah, I'm 10 toes down till they lay me 6 deep. Return as the ghost of Rick, even my spirit won't sleep. Non-stop, relentless, no time clock. Invented, can mark the date of this classic composition. I'm pinning between these bars, give you a wealth of wisdom. If you can read between the lines, notice I'm painting the picture from the book of bricks, so this ain't no scripture. Amen, the flow sacred, religious in fact, the people quoting my statements. What will brick do across their bracelets? Show how strong their faith is for me to change it. And with that said, I made arrangements for this faceless, infinite information on pages that I created. My notebook so swole that it won't close. I'm going hard, introduction to the outro. You ain't repping for your people, keep your mouth closed. Like the Bible though, they love me in a sophomore. I think my mind first changed as a sophomore. Looking through history books really without no. Blacks saw the same names, repeatedly learned about those. Now Trump building a wall for the Vatos. Muslims can't fly back either, had to reroute those. Strips and gun stores sold out, know what to watch for. And watch what you say, freedom of speech soon will be outlawed.
Peace, 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 Black Power family. Welcome to another episode of the Book Brick Series, broadcasting live every Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by the host and founder, our brother, your brother, Brick the Foundation. That phone number to call in is 515-605-9360. Again, 515-605-9360. Press 1 with your questions and your comments, because my honor and privilege at this time to introduce some and present to others. All the way from Flint Town, USA. Boom, back, brick, break. Boom, back, brick, break. Boom, back, brick, break.
What up, dude?
Yo, British lady.
Normally start during the show, not before the show starts. But I guess it's on. So all the way from Illadel Half-Life.
Slash Philly.
I'm saying. Let me see if this thing works, man. Real quick.
Philly is where I'm from.
We from PH.
Our brother, Mr. Chance Bill.
What's going on?
Peace, God. What up, dude?
Oh, man.
Appreciate you stopping through, man.
No problem.
Everything looking on the forefront, man. I see you've been beating the canvas pretty tough. You know what I'm saying? About a couple issues I've been paying attention to on your page.
Always bring the right issues, speak the truth to power, and not let nobody tear that.
Man. I just saw, I think it was a post earlier today when you was talking about the day-to-day convos that you're having with our people, and you know what I'm saying, and how, you know what I'm saying, kind of saddens you, you know what I'm saying, and I just kind of wanted to touch base on that because we actually kind of spoke on this you said it's an echo. I don't know why it's an echo, bro. Yeah, but we actually kind of... Can you hear me cool, Mitch?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear an echo on myself.
Oh, it's an echo on you. I don't hear the echo.
We ain't on your level, Rick.
Y'all ain't on my level? Nah. Do you want to be free? Do you want to be healthy? but what I was touching on was, like I said, I want to say it was probably like 2 weeks ago how we was talking about how it becomes kind of disheartening, you know what I'm saying, doing this kind of work, you know what I'm saying, especially when you look around and people just not picking up what you're putting down, you know what I'm saying. It's like they come up with every excuse in the book to justify a certain situations, you know what I'm saying? Like you was attesting to earlier, how they're claw for the 1%, you know what I'm saying, and not even looking at the bigger picture, you know. So what I want to ask you is, what keeps you fueled, bro? You know what I'm saying? Because for those that don't know, Mitch is featured on the Book of Brick, you know what I'm saying? He is one of the speakers that is on the album, but he is the only speaker.
Blessed, appreciate it.
Thank you, bro. Thank you. But he is the only actual feature that is a speaker, you know what I'm saying? All the other speakers, those was clips that I took from previous speeches of theirs. You know, this brother put a piece together specifically for the Book of Brick, you know what I'm saying? And I'm very appreciative of that. Just to give y'all a little backdrop of how it came about, we was at the Claim Malcolm X Day, and this brother was on stage going in, you know what I'm saying? I'm just listening, and, you know, and y'all know I'm a fan of the work period, you know what I'm saying? Just of people putting in work in the streets for our people, you know what I'm saying? And also when it comes to the artistic side of it, you know what I'm saying? And just how eloquently brother was putting his words together, I'm like, yo, I gotta get him on the album. You know what I'm saying? So I had to figure out how to approach him first, you know what I'm saying? So I went and approached him, you know, we chopped it up, and he already was receptive because he knew who I was, you know what I'm saying? So the universe just lined everything up. But like I said, I just wanted y'all to just know that this is a brother that's on the album before he gets to speak and answers the question that I asked him about where he gets the daily fuel to keep going and, you know what I'm saying, just keep fighting for our people and to keep putting this information out for our people.
Definitely, man. My daily fuel is just knowing this is what I was put here to do. You know, a lot of us don't focus on even finding out what our purpose is, what we were created to. You know, we can't think about having a creator create something without a mission in mind for what's created. You know, it's like you create music, you have an idea of what you want this music to be, what you want people to feel. And so we have to get in tune with the creator, with God, with the universe, however somebody might want to address it. But if you were created, there's a purpose for you. No matter what the world may try to keep everybody focused on different things, especially here in America, the American dream supersedes purpose. They keep us focused on the American dream. They keep us focused on capitalism. It's a dog-eat-dog world. They keep us focused on individualism. They keep us focused on chasing fiat currency, all so they can keep you from your purpose, because your purpose will always overthrow the powers that be. If everybody steps into their purpose, the powers that be can't have the power no more, because we're not fooled by them anymore. So me, I live knowing that this is why I was created. So even days I get sad or days I might be depressed, or days I might just sleep the whole day away because I'm just, you know what I'm saying, just so much weight just pouring down on me, but I can't give up. Like, I just don't, I don't have enough faith to give up. Like, what if I give up on doing this, then what? Like, what's my alternative? You know what I'm saying? That's the way I look at this thing. So since I know I was created for this, I think I'm going to be the best me I'm supposed to be. I'm going to live in my purpose as much as I can, and I'm not going to let nothing deter that. So that purpose is what drives me every day of the week.
Man, that's dope. I can see already this interview about to be on level 12 knowledge.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, and then like you said, outside of what else to do, who else is going to do it? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's part of the reason to do it, to push the energy onto the next level of our, I would say, our youth. You know what I'm saying? Even mm-hmm. our age peers. You know what I'm saying? To get them to thinking like this, because like you said, I mean, it's so easy. It's easy to quit. You know what I'm saying? How much passion do you actually have in your heart for your people? Like you said, to have that much weight on your shoulders, to not want to get out of bed, but still do it. You know what I'm saying? And still fight for your people, regardless if they turn their back on you, regardless if they still in these streets calling each other niggas and bitches, regardless if they, you know what I'm saying, still not raising their children. We still out here fighting for our people at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? So much respect to you for that, bro. You know, no doubt, man. Outside of the YouTube and Instagram videos, do you do any lecturing in Philly or outside of Philly?
Well, yeah, I lecture any and everywhere. Right now, I have I lecture every single Friday night. I call it the LNC, the Lecture and Conversations Only for Black Men. I created this platform because of. One day, a sister of mine, who's a psychologist, was dealing with a black guy who was dealing with depression. Even though he was coming to see her, he still wouldn't open up all the way about everything that's ailing him. So she called me, like, you know, how do I get through the black men? How do we get black men to open up about their depression? So I'm like, you know, I done dealt with it myself. So I said, well, I'm gonna do a video about it, so I can start the conversation. You know, if I put it out there and talk about how I've dealt with it, then other men will feel comfortable about expressing themselves. So when I did the video, I had no idea the drink was going to be like that and that million views, you know what I'm saying? And it was just so many men, after they saw me opened up, they just commented. And they just start pouring their hearts out. And they like, you know, I wish we had a safe space where we can actually talk about everything that's going on in, you know, in our lives. And me being who I am, it's like I can't put this out there, see a problem, and then say, damn, it will be dope if we have a nice space. No, I got to create it. And so I created the Lecture and Conversation. So every single Friday night from 6:30 to 8 o'clock, I do a lecture till about 7:15 on a particular topic. Right now I'm walking through my book, The 6 Days of Manhood, about a half an hour lecture, and then we just have a conversation about what was going on, or if somebody is just going through something like this past Friday, man, a brother needs. Somebody's life was saved because this brother came here and was able to get everything out, because once he opened his mouth, he just was going, because he had so much pain. He had so much hurt, but he finally got the release. So, yeah, so I do that every Friday night just for the black men to come in, have a safe space to learn for one, but then to open up. But outside of that, you know, I travel around as often as, you know, people request me. I'm about to put together my own tour. I talked to Brick about that, I think, one time, about us probably doing that thing together. So that'll be dope.
Hey, I'm definitely down, bro. Like I said, man, you definitely inspired me, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like I was telling Ron Green, he bought the album probably a couple of days ago, and he hit me up about it. You know what I'm saying? He was saying it was probably one of my best works that's out so far, you know. And I definitely attribute that to the Philly scene, you know what I'm saying? When I got there for Malcolm X Day, I think that was in, we was May 19th.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'll never forget it, man. Like, the energy was crazy, the love, the, you know what I'm saying, the reception was crazy, you know what I'm saying, just the acknowledgement, you know what I'm saying. It wasn't, and you have your own pedestal to stand on, but it wasn't like, oh, I don't know who you is, I ain't dealing with you, know, you know what I'm saying. It was genuine love, man, so I appreciated that, you know what I'm saying. And then it carried over into the work, you know what I'm saying, with you hitting me with the pre-verse before you even recorded it, you know what I'm saying. And then recording it within a week's time frame, you know what I'm saying? And just understanding the bigger mission and the message that I'm trying to push in the music, you know what I'm saying? And helping me educate the people through that, man, you know what I'm saying? Like, no words can express how much I appreciate that, man, because it could have been easy for you to just been like, nah, or talk to this person, you know what I'm saying? Or go through this, you know what I'm saying, through this leaps and bounds to try to make something work with me, because there's a couple of people that's done me like that. You know, so I kind of was hesitant right off the bat, but you know what I'm saying? Like I said, I'm just so appreciative that you was receptive that way, man. You know what I'm saying? I wish more of our people was that way instead of, I say it's a hindrance in our minds, you know what I'm saying? Because we so busy watching what the next person's do. Like me, I want Mitch to blow up doing something, you know what I'm saying? Whether it's he's the number one seller in books or whatever, you know what I'm saying? The number one lecturer around the country, I want you to do that, you know what I'm saying? And that's what more of our people need to get in tune with, you know what I'm saying? Having positive thoughts about others that look like us, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like we keep chains on each other's ankles, you know what I'm saying? The whole crab in the barrel theory, you know what I'm saying? As soon as you start reaching the top, I'm going to try to pull you back down type thing, you know what I'm saying? And that's never been my mentality. Even if you hate me, I try to absorb the positive energy out of that, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because energy is never created or destroyed, you know what I'm saying? So that goes for negative and positive. So in the negative situation, when you speak in negative light on me, I'm going to try to take the positive from it and shine from that. You know,
definitely.
Like I said, I just wish more of our people was that way, man. And you, like you, my brother Keith, Knowledge, you know what I'm saying? And there's very select few brothers I feel that's genuine, you know what I'm saying? Sisters too, you know what I'm saying? That's genuine in the love for their people that live this, breathe this, speak this, eat this, the whole nine, you know what I'm saying? Where it's not a facade. It's not that I just have on a dashiki. It's not that I'm just raising my fist and saying black power when I'm around people that look like me. This is my life in general, you know what I'm saying? I'm in it for the struggle of my people, for the fight of my people, you know what I'm saying? Until my demise. Hopefully I can see the fruits of my labor, but if not, then the fight continues, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely, man. And this goes back to what I was saying earlier. See, we get so indoctrinated with that American dream because that American dream is selfish.
Man.
The American dream does not think about other people. But when you deal with purpose, see, purpose is never about the individual who has purpose. Whatever your purpose to do always has to do with somebody else. Nobody's purpose to just be a billionaire to buy fly stuff. If you have a purpose to be a billionaire, it's to use that money to do something else. So those of us who are connected to that purpose know that I need to do something for Brick, because I need to do something for everybody, because I can't fulfill being who I'm supposed to be if I'm not reaching out and touching everybody else. Everybody I meet, I'm always trying to figure out how I can help them. What can I do to advance what it is that they do? How can I help them pull the greatness out of them? And when you have folks who want to do that with each other, that's when that stuff becomes so powerful. Because when we, man, listen, that track, man, just listening to me and you on the joint, as soon as you come on when I get done speaking, you can just feel the power in that connection.
Man.
That verse wouldn't have been as hot sitting alone by itself.
That verse
I was saying, my speech wouldn't have been as powerful sitting alone by itself. But when we brought it together, we brought that energy together, it's like, this is what happened when Kings Align.
Man.
Now imagine we continue to do it on a larger scale or more often. You know, not just with the music, just period. You know what I'm saying?
Man. Yeah, like you said, man, because like I told you, when you sent me that joint, man, like it didn't have a beat to it or any. It was bare bones for people that don't know. You know what I'm saying? I didn't send him a beat. He asked me that I wanted him to do it over a beat. I was like, no, I just need your raw energy. You know what I'm saying? And then when he sent it to me, you know, I literally, for those that know me, when it comes to me picking beats, I'm very selective. So I might spend 2-3 days looking for one beat to match, you know what I'm saying, the song concept that I have. You know, after he sent me the vocals back over, I played probably 2 tracks. You know what I'm saying? The second track, it just was perfect. You know what I'm saying? Like he was still talking as I pushed play on the beat. And this is the type of message that they kill people over, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it runs flow with the beat, and I'm like, oh, this is it, you know what I'm saying? And when you stop talking And this is like the second time I played it. No lie. You know what I'm saying? It was probably the third because I'm not counting the phone one that you sent. You know what I'm saying? The phone copy that you sent. But when you sent me the hard copy, I listened to it twice. And the second time was with that beat. And once you stop with your speech on the beat, I instantly just start rapping. You know what I'm saying?
Are you ready to follow? Me trying to be a role model.
For real, because that's the mindset you put me in. Like, yo, like, how what does it take for you to be fed up? Like, do you want to be free? You know what I'm saying? And that just echoes sentiment in me. Like, yo, that's a simple ass question. And how many people really want to be free, though? You know what I'm saying? It's so easy to be, like you said, caught up in this American dream and the false luxuries and name brands. You know what I'm saying? Like I was thinking about earlier, it was a chick that was a female that was an activist who called herself an activist, but she had Gucci everything. And I asked her about Marcus Garvey and the red, black, and green flag. She had no idea what it was, though. But your red, black, and green that you identify with belongs to Gucci. You know what I'm saying? Like this is backwards to me. You know, it's no special button that I pushed on me. There's no special button that Mitch pushed on him. You know what I'm saying? At one point we just woke up and was like, yo, this is enough of the same bullshit. Excuse my friends, I know how I roll, but you know what I'm saying? This is just enough of the same old, same old. I refuse to keep going with this same program. I don't see how people can wake up. Like I just posted a story. It was two sisters shot what's today? Tuesday. Two sisters shot Sunday, and my homeboy, little cousin, 22 years old, just turned 22, and had a newborn baby, just was killed last night. You know what I'm saying? Female. Damn. Three females shot in 2 days, bro. Like, where the fuck is our morals at, man? And it just goes back to, it reminds me, what it reminds me of is Tupac. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not blaming Tupac because he foretold this happening. If we don't control this situation, we're going to have a race of babies that hate the ladies.
It's
true facts, man. Like, how are you getting that deep into your emotions or not controlling your gunfire and thinking that shootouts are cool and you taking innocent lives, man? You know what I'm saying? It's not even like no drive-by stuff. You know what I'm saying? Back in the days, people was doing drive-by. Okay, now you got hit. That's kind of different. But you're just walking to buildings and randomly shooting with your eyes closed, basically. You know what I'm saying? But won't harm a hair on anybody that don't look like us. Motherfucking cop roll up on you, have a 30 and a Draco on you, and the motherfucking gonna throw their hands up in the air like it's hip hop array and shit. For real, man. That shit's irritating to me, bro.
Yeah, we definitely gotta break that. We gotta see, we've been trained not to harm the white man for so long. I'm reading a lot of stuff about psychosomatic stuff, man, how things like, you know, if you get beat down so much, it become a part of your DNA. And then you pass that DNA on to those later on.
Mm-hmm.
So like a lot of us are still responding as if we were literally slaves on the plantation. And we don't dig it. So we got to begin to that's what, you know, being woke and conscious is about, is, you know, being able to rewire your thinking about everything. So if I'm going to be a killer, I'm going to be a killer. Kill everybody. You can't have picks. You know what I mean? Not that I'm promoting killing, but if this is your life, like you said, you can't just kill your own, but then when the cops are stomping your homie out on you and you just want to record it.
Man.
You got your phone out, but if I step on your Jordans, you gonna chop on me. You gonna kill me if I step on your sneaks for the cop to step on your homie's face. So we have to retrain the way we think, and the way we think always has to be connected to the allegiance to our race. That's our problem. We don't have a principle that says my allegiance is to black people. That's why you have so many black athletes who can stand up and pledge their allegiance to this flag, because they don't have no allegiance to their people.
We got
folks who can condone certain things because they don't have no principle that's an allegiance to their people. Try to get a Jew to have any kind of apologies over Nazis. You ain't never going to find a Jew that's going to say, well, you know, the Nazis, some of them was just doing their job. You ain't going to hear that kind of stuff. They got an allegiance to their race. But we're going to be like, well, all the slave owners wasn't bad. You know, some of them just owned slaves because that's the way it was going on. No allegiance. No allegiance to your race.
Man, yeah, so, and like you said, some of us even go so deep and be like, if you want to be technical, black people own slaves first, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, my God. Bro, oh, man.
You know what I'm saying? Like, even if you want to go that route, like, the comparisons is not there, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, man, like you said, man, it's a day-to-day sadness, it's a day-to-day struggle, you know what I'm saying? But it's something that it has to be done. You know what I'm saying? There's few of us out here, you know what I'm saying? But the thing that disheartens me, you know what I'm saying, the ones that are in the community, and no shade to anybody. I don't want anybody taking this the wrong way, but you know what I'm saying? I am gonna speak on the Tommy Sotomayor situation. You know what I'm saying? And hello?
Yeah, I hear you.
Oh, yeah. No, what I was saying about that, though, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, well, we do have stuff we have to deal with behind our own lines, you know what I'm saying? Which Tommy Sotomayor disrespecting our women will be one of them, you know? But my issue with that goes back to what you said about the brother, homie getting stumped out by the cops and him pulling out his phone. You know what I'm saying? If this is something that we need to internally check, then why is it not in being internally checked? You know what I'm saying? Why is it being broadcasted and the face of consciousness or the face of pro-black unity is being put out there as Tommy Sotomayor is being punched in the face? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no other positive stuff that's being portrayed out there about pro-black.
Somebody punched him? I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
He deserved it.
Yeah, so that's what happened with that. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, I ain't saying I'm opposed to it. You know what I'm saying? But like I said, I just didn't really agree with the recording. You know what I'm saying? Because for the simple fact, one person made a statement on my post and was like, "Yo, it's just like a family member that get out of line sometime." Okay, I understand that. You know what I'm saying? But you're not about to record. You're not about to go Facebook Live and record you checking your cousin because he did something wrong in the family. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just, it's certain stuff you just don't put out into the media or to the public, I guess.
Who got the punch report? I definitely get what you're saying, but I'm a disagree for this fact. We have so many Tommy Sotomayor who are doing things that are detrimental to our race that we do need to make public examples of them. I would rather see him get his brains blown out. You know, that's just the way I feel. Like, I'm serious. I'm Nat Turner. I heard something when it comes to this stuff. If you're working against the race, I feel like you need to get your brains blown out in front of everybody, you, your whole family. I want to go back to Old Testament Bible so black folk know not to go against black folk. See, the white folk, that's what they're going to do to you. We're so scared to go against them because we're afraid what they're going to do to us. But we're not afraid to harm each other because we're not afraid what we're going to do to us. So I would disagree. Just, you know, so I understand what you're saying in your premise, but to deter more black people from being anti-black, some folk need to be made examples of. That's the way I look at it.
Facts. Well, shit, I'm glad I brought it up because I didn't, you know what I'm saying, I didn't look at it like that. When you speak on, you know what I'm saying, make an example, I'm, like I said, I'm cool with the example. Like, it's a ton of people. They was at like a reunion or something, so it was a ton of people there in the presence, you know what I'm saying? So the story could have been told, you know what I'm saying? It's just more, and then to come to think about it, just the mindset of who this motherfucker is, you know what I'm saying? He had a body cam on or some shit. So it was like, and when you look further into it, it's like it was a setup almost, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To infiltrate and then try to bring it down and make pro-black look bad, you know what I'm saying? Because
yeah.
they got a clip of him calling the cops, and he's like, what happened? He's like, they assaulted me. They punched me in the face. And the cops is like, well, why did they punch you in the face? He was like, well, I guess it's over a YouTube video. They don't like me. You know how black people are. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Dude's comment to the cops, you know what I'm saying? And then he starts profiling, I guess, who hit him. I don't know who hit him, but he starts, you know what I'm saying, he in a red shirt and he's blue jeans, like the whole nine, you know what I'm saying? Like snitching to the fullest, you know what I'm saying?
You still looking at him as black. I'm not. I ain't looking at him as black. He ain't no black man. I ain't punch no black man. Now, do they need to punch literal white men? Yeah. But once folks start acting like Tommy Sotomayor, I no longer view you as black. if you are intentionally against your people, how in the world can I look at you as a black man? How can I look at you the same way I look at Brick? If you out here intentionally talking crazy about black women video after video after video, you a Negro pen. I got to treat you like one. But what I will say is, if they going to do that to him, they also need to do it to the white folks that do some stuff too. That's what I will say. Again, don't be selective. I'm from the streets. That's one thing you can't have no picks. If you're going to move on anybody or you ain't going to move at all, you can't have no picks. So if you're going to do that to Tommy, make sure if you run into Dylan Roof in the penitentiary, you do something to him. Or make sure you go to Virginia and you do something to somebody down there also. That's what I would say. I'm real radical, just to let you know, man.
Facts. I told you, Knowledge, you about to be level 12 the whole interview.
Hey, you know, we in the same category. You know, they be talking about, it's the system and, you know, all of that. Nah, man. When they kill black people, they don't give a damn what black person they shoot, what black person they run up on. They ain't talking about, and I don't give a damn about none of them lives neither. You understand what I'm saying? So what's good for the goose is good for the gander. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and we got
anyone to do.
Like two target bros down here in South Philly, this white boy punched a black sister. We went straight to his door. We went straight. It was so many of us out there. The cops came, but the cops was afraid. Because after I started talking and going on with the cops, they could see that it was no fear. And y'all can see that. If y'all can see the way folks is following me, if I say go, it's on. So as soon as the cop walk up, I'm like, listen, because I was on my way to the police station. I tell him this. I was on my way to y'all, because if y'all harass, I'm going to harass y'all. He looking like, I even got it on video. He looking like, you going to harass the cop, and you ain't got no authority over me. Do you understand that? He's like, yes, I understand. Put him right in check. But we got to address them folks too, man. We're going to take care of in-house. We're going to take care of out-house too, man. Those folks, because they the real problem, because they are the ones that's manipulating our people to do what we're doing to each other. So really, if we deal with them, that will deal with the internal conflict, at least in my opinion.
They're only signing up for one side. You know what I'm saying? These cats only signing up for one side. They can't wait to do something wrong to somebody who looked like them, because the fear is so polarizing. You understand what I'm saying? Like,
I can't hear it went out.
The British lady about to start. Hey man, I told y'all. Hey Mitch, just so you know, man, on our show on Tuesday, the British lady, if we turn up too much, the British lady don't like it, bro. And you started out on level 12. So next time we interview, you got to come in at like level 6, bro. Cause we can't get to level
12
until we like an hour in.
I'm trying, man. I'm trying to learn how to keep my passion under control, man. Oh,
man. I'm just messing with you, bro.
Don't keep it under control, not over here,
bro. Keep it like it is. I'm just cracking jokes right now because of the network. You know what I'm saying? But no, like I said, bro, I definitely love your passion, man. And I appreciate you being on right now. You know what I'm saying? You energizing me right now.
Yeah, but that is how I really, you know what I'm saying, because when we look at Colin Kaepernick, right, he is being held out of a job not because of his talent. We all know that. So right now they are showing the consequences of standing up for black people, deter more and more black people from doing the same thing. So we definitely have to make examples out of some black folks, but we got to make some examples out of some white folks too. Like, Zimmerman should not be walking around still. He shouldn't be walking around still. But I don't think if he was in Philly, he wouldn't. Like if that would have happened in Philly, we would have been precarious. This is where something I even challenged myself with this, because I still have somewhat of an allegiance to the area where I was born at, and we gotta be comfortable being uncomfortable to the point where, like, we can't find all these same like minds in the same city. We got to move together somewhere. And that's something that I'm wrestling with every day, trying to build up the heart to just say, you know what, I'm going to pick up the move.
Man.
I'm really not 100%. I'm, you know what I'm saying? I got to be honest. I'm really not 100% with the movement the way I should, because if I was, then I would have connected with some people and I would have just moved somewhere else. So I still got some, you know what I'm saying, some room to grow with this thing, because that's what we really need. We really need an area. In every major city, man, they got neighborhoods, safe spaces for homosexuals. But where's safe space for us?
They're
not going to create it. We got to create it. And the only way it's going to be created is if some of these like minds, if we can, you know, and we can find 1,000 like minded men that's in the country. Can we just go buy 20 acres?
Bro.
Put a building on it?
Bro. Man. I wish it was that simple, man. You know what I'm saying? It was this is a convo that, you know what I'm saying, it's been in tune for years, you know. I don't even know where to start it with this, you know what I'm saying? You got my mind everywhere right now. But our people, man, for some reason, I don't know where it became cool at, but we become centralized where, like you said, where we grew up at. You know what I'm saying? And it almost becomes an anchor, you know what I'm saying, where we are afraid to move around, you know. And then I came up with something called Revive Detroit a couple years ago, you know. And a lot of people probably thought that I was still trying to be around home because I'm from Flint and I was living in Toledo, Ohio at this point, you know what I'm saying? But the reason why I chose Detroit is because what is the number one black city in America? Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Detroit by far is almost, even with the number 2, 3, and 4 cities combined, it's still more black people in Detroit already. You know what I'm saying? So this is the base grounds to build on. You know what I'm saying? Detroit also has access to waterways. You know what I'm saying? So you are able to trade and stuff like that. So this is one reason why I chose this. It wasn't, and people, especially like Southern people, I don't want to come with the snow. And you got to get that out your mind. How you going to want to be free, but you worried about fucking snow? You know what I'm saying? You worried about snow, though. You know what I'm saying? So, like you said, at some point, we have to, another reason why I chose Detroit, because they went bankrupt. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of the city is basically on clearance. And it's still that way, schools and all, you know what I'm saying? So this is when I lost track with Dr. Umar. I'm like, yo, bro, you talking about you going to put a school in Philly, Detroit, or Virginia? Motherfucker, it's colleges in Detroit that you can purchase for half the price of what you asking for. You know what I'm saying? And you just fiddling with the people's emotions and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, this shit, we can
Is he aware of the prices of those schools?
I don't see why it wouldn't be. It's on the internet. Shit, I'm a fucking rapper and I know the prices of the schools. You know what I'm saying? Like, it depends on the research and the stuff you go into. It's a website called Lot Loop or something like that, where you can go and look up retail properties. You know what I'm saying? There's, like I said, there's whole schools for like $200,000, bro, in Detroit. You know what I'm saying? And the white motherfuckers is going to end up buying that shit up. You know what I'm saying? There's apartment complexes. Even if it's not a school, it's apartment complexes. Motherfuckers got to be innovative. You know what I'm saying? Just because it was an apartment don't mean that it has to stay that. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, man.
No, that's real. That's
mad.
Real.
And we just, it's like we got blinders on, bro. We can't see it, bro. And it's like, and back to the what started the conversation, it's disheartening. But you got to keep fighting the fight. You got to have that warrior's mentality to keep fighting the fight. You know what I'm saying? Because if you give up, then ain't nobody going to do it. You know what I'm saying? The goal for me is to reach somebody every day. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's through the music or me talking to somebody in the streets, you know what I'm saying? Or somebody hitting me up online, however it go. You know what I'm saying? The goal for me is to be able to change somebody's thought pattern, you know what I'm saying, at least once a day. You know what I'm saying? And if more, then so be it, you know. But I'm not going to give up. You know what I'm saying? There's no way in the world I can go rapping about some other bullshit now.
That Detroit is in my spirit heavy now, man. Because Claude Anderson was trying to create Black Town in Detroit.
Yeah.
But the black people support them. We can revisit that. That's why I'm just waiting till my platform is large enough to cause a major shift, to cause that shift and be recognized by certain other black folks that we can actually build with. Because I don't even know how I could get in a room with Carl right now. You know what I'm saying? But That's what we need. I like that Detroit idea, man.
Man.
I honestly, I don't really want to be in the cold either, but do I want to be
free?
But
be
I want to be free. You know what I'm saying?
You want to have everything that you need in abundance? For real, man.
So I got to deal with a little cold. It ain't like it don't get cold here in Philly, so.
Ain't like you can't move around, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, that'll just be home base. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, I probably had to go back and look the group up, man, but I had, like, housing situations worked out where, you know what I'm saying, we would pay in as a group. Because the way that it works right now is a lot of people that rent. Luckily, right now, I was bequeathed a house, and I own a house. You know what I'm saying? So the only thing I had to do was pay taxes. You know what I'm saying? But there's a lot of people out there that still is just renting. You know what I'm saying? So especially like with apartments, you know what I'm saying? So the idea was to rent an apartment, a.k.a. it comes to a complex of like-minded people, you know what I'm saying, where we do know our neighbors and we are a village, you know what I'm saying? And we actually buy this building and then it becomes something that benefits you that you're paying rent. You know what I'm saying? So now we're paying it to like a garden or something. Now we're buying another apartment complex like this and moving in more like-minded people. You know what I'm saying? And it keeps growing. But you're not just going to get a Black Wall Street by motherfuckers just sitting back like, oh, I want another Black Wall Street. We should do another Black Wall Street. You have to come up and formulate a fucking plan. You know what I'm saying?
So
it's something simple. It's like $14 a day $14 a year from every Black person. You know what I'm saying? And that'd be some crazy money. I don't even remember what the total was, but it was just me, the weed, and numbers. So don't mind me.
So this is the thing. Honestly, we don't even have to buy those buildings. If the city owns those buildings, we literally can just move in and legally occupy and get title deeds to those properties. It's ways of doing it legally. Quiet titles, reverse titles, all you gotta do is live it. All you gotta do is move in there and live in it. You file the necessary paperwork and you can own a house. Folks do it in Philly all the time. Shoot, dude I was watching on YouTube, he got a freaking half of a mini mansion in Texas. His neighbors is pissed off.
He just moved into it. He didn't
pay anything for his house, so that's ain't none of y'all business. So we gotta look. I gotta get out. We gotta set it up, man, so I can get out to Detroit, man. And I'm gonna talk to my brothers, and we're gonna try to make a move out there just to check it out and see what's what. We gonna make this happen. We're gonna get off Block Talk Radio talking about.
Yeah, that's less than $100 trip for you, man. You know what I'm saying? That's another reason why I like Philly so much. I went to Philly twice in 2 months, you know what I'm saying? I paid less than $150. But that emergency trip back, you know what I'm saying, when he thought we was about to have my daughter, that taxed me. I was $450, so that kind of paid for all the trips, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm definitely looking forward to coming back down there, man. Speaking of the Kaepernick situation, so where are you staying at with it? So are you cool with them giving, if he get a job, you cool with him getting a job?
Am I cool with who getting the job?
Kaepernick.
I can hear you. Your phone's breaking up again.
Kaepernick.
Am I cool with him getting a job in the NFL?
I'm in the
mix with that. If I'm mad at him for working, I gotta be mad at every Black person that worked with that. Then to see if he's continuing to use their money to fund our stuff, I really can't be mad at that at all. But I do feel like Black people should just give up on the NFL, period.
Right.
We need to remove all of our money from the NFL, and he's just making money off of white folks that's paying for the NFL. I really wouldn't have a problem with using their money to fund our dreams. But more, forget him. It's all these other players, man.
Man.
What are they doing? Why, you know what I'm saying? Why won't y'all sit down? Why won't y'all stand up? It was dope to see Michael Bennett, Marshawn Lynch, and a few other folks kneeling. Well, no, they were sitting down. They didn't even kneel. You know what I'm saying? It was dope to see that. But we need more. We just got to get out of the mindset that we need these people, man. It's like, how are we going to start our own NFL? This fucking way they started it. Like, people be asking these retarded questions like these people didn't do it already.
Man.
If they can build a country, why the hell can't we build a country? What goes through your mind when you ask these kind of questions? How are we just going to build our own nation? What the hell? The same way they did.
Like, quiet as kept, Ice Cube showing them a way to do that shit with that big three. You know what I'm saying? Like, even if they starting out as retired, you know what I'm saying? Even if you use the mindset of, okay, now I'm a free agent, just step away and go do this, the people going to follow the talent and the sport. You know what I'm saying? They're not going to fucking go watch Kyle Korver play basketball. You know what I'm saying? That's just true facts, you know? Like, that's crazy, man. But like you said, we won't stand for anything. Imagine the power if every black person in the NFL is like, fuck it, I'm not playing game one. I ain't playing shit. You know what I'm saying? It's going to get all they damn attentions. You know what I'm saying? The billionaire owner's going to be up in arms. Colin Kaepernick going to have 32 job offers. You know what I'm saying? But right now, they would rather give the job to a white motherfucker, Jay Cutler, who don't even want to play the fucking game, and they're giving this motherfucker $5 million just because the only reason he's playing because his wife told him to go get that money. You know what I'm saying?
I just wish we had at least one Muhammad Ali right now.
Man.
You know what I'm saying? Or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar right now. Just one athlete who is going to just tell it 100% the truth. You know, Richard Sherman articulates things well, but he still don't take the stance strong enough. Like, it's just not coming out like, look, this is racist, and all us black players, we got to come together and do X, Y, and Z. Like really, really stand. I appreciate what he says. I'm not trying to knock the brother. I'm just saying we need a little bit more, man. We need some folks who really going to take a serious stand and risk making and risk some money for this year. It's one year salary, man. Just risk it.
Man.
But we can make it all. We can make it all on the back end.
Just deal with it direct. You know what I'm saying? Because speaking of Michael Bennett, he was dancing around the situation. He would speak on race, but then he would also touch on gender. You know what I'm saying? You pressing the issue about gender. The Colin Kaepernick situation they asked you about had to deal with race. You know what I'm saying? But you justifying two things, it kind of reminded me of the civil rights era. You know what I'm saying? Where we stopped fighting for our rights and started fighting for everybody's fucking rights.
Who the hell is civil?
Now, we never stopped fighting for our rights. It's just everybody. The contingent was, while this was happening, while we had the illusion of inclusion, everything else was being shored up for a time such as now. That's all it was. The focal point of it, the same white press that exists now is the same white press that exists then. That, so it drives the story where it's supposed to go. It reports how it's supposed to happen. You understand what I'm saying? Like Dr. King didn't start the March on Washington. The people started the March on Washington after they firebombed. They blew up his house. You understand what I'm saying? So these catalysts were set in motion, but he wasn't responsible for setting the thing in motion. The conditions set the thing in motion. So most of these athletes that are in the entertainment industry now, because it's the entertainment industry, period. You understand what I'm saying? Have not gone through the conditions that would make a Muhammad Ali. You see what I'm saying? So the conditions made Muhammad Ali, and that frustration was met with a type of edification process that he went through, and he came out Muhammad Ali. They showed us Cassius Clay. They showed us Muhammad Ali. And then before his transition, they showed us Cassius Clay again. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they did that strategically to show you what happens when you stand up. Shows you what happens when you stand up, and then making sure that you never stand up again. You understand what I'm saying? So if you see this, if you witness this, if you're thinking about what you think belongs to you, if you're thinking about, you know, these cars and stuff, these things that they, these artificial things, because you don't have you, because you can't grab a hold of you, you owned by these things that you didn't have in the first place, and you was better off without them. You was better off. You have more love. You have more sanity. All of these things came and made sane people insane. So now that you're insane, you can be used. You can be misused. You can be taken advantage of. You see what I'm saying? Like, they've been taking advantage of you since you was a child. You were a child. You've been watched since you was a child before you get to the NBA, before you get to the NFL, since you were 5 or 6 years old. You understand what I'm saying? Something that you thought that you loved to do because you're good at anything that you do. You understand what I'm saying? We're good at anything that we do, that we set our mind to, that we devote and discipline ourselves to do. You see what I'm saying? When I was younger, I'm going to speak for myself. I don't know about y'all. But everybody wanted to be a teacher. Everybody wanted to be a doctor. Everybody wanted to be a lawyer because that's the social setting and scene that was around. So sports was secondary. It was get your education first because the teachers look like you and they were educators and they gave a damn about you and they live where you live. So when the shift came with the pre-gentrification, sending in teachers that didn't live in our community, sending in these bastard police that didn't live in our community, all they became is cage kickers and miseducators. So cage kickers on the outside of the perimeter and inside of the perimeter, everybody on code with the miseducation and continuing to push that. So now you see like a saving grace to be an athlete. Like that was the worst shit you could be. That was like the worst shit you could be. So now this becomes popularized, and now the scientists are on somebody's racetrack or running up and down somebody's basketball court. Somebody who can heal the entire planet is trying to be a boxer. You understand what I'm saying? So they can be used, so they can be misused, so they can be destroyed. And then when they come back to us, they punch you. They come back to us, they're disconnected from us. You understand what I'm saying? So they made an enemy out of them in the interest of success because individuality is not success for our people. Individuality has never been successful for our people.
At all.
You see what I'm saying? So our collective goal in our community and our families determined what was best for the community, and that's what we did. That's why we were in the community. And then when we own all of the stores, we own everything in the community. But as soon as we thought success looked different, looked opposite to us, and we made concessions for that, that was the end of it. Like, so this phenomenon, they're like, oh, man, you know, people homeschooling their children. What did you do before 1950? What did you do before 1950? You understand what I'm saying? Like, what did you do before that? How long we been on this continent? What did we do before the 1950s? The desegregation of the schools. What did we do before that? Why would you want to be in the same proximity as somebody who wants to do you harm? Why would you think they will open up the schools for you to come somewhere to be in the same proximity of your enemy? So you would have the social integration and you would never been integrated. You ain't never been an American. They ain't never accept you as no American because they ain't bring you here to be no damn American. They ain't bring you here to be no entertainer. They ain't bring you here. They brought you here to be labeled. So anytime that you in any type of situation, you're in a situation where you control by your labor. In your mind, you're thinking, hey, I got to do what I got to do so my family can eat. So because your family got to eat, you control. Because your family got to eat, because you're not providing the food for them to eat, you're going to work for somebody else where you can get shillings for you to come back to bring some bread back in the house. And that's successful. So that's why the scales of rebellion have not been tipped. So as long as we're comfortable being controlled, being misused, being abused, being exploited by many of these people that's running around that look like us, because they learned it from who? They learned success from this white man. So this white man thrives off individuality. They got the survival of the fittest mentality. So they create competition, and one of the definitions of war is competition. So they want brothers and sisters to wage war on their battlefields, on their football fields, on their soccer fields, on their basketball courts, all of these things destroying the gifted and talented among us to be used and subjugated and put before us like enemies.
Yes.
If I've been watching you since you was five, I know who you're going to be, Ray Lewis. I know who you're going to be. You understand what I'm saying? I talked to you in college. I was your coach in college. Or I was your mentor. Or I made sure you hung out with us. Or I took you in when people that looked like you said you wasn't ever going to be shit. When you was writing things on your wall about your goals. I was there with you. I sent you my daughters. I sent you my sons. I put you around all of these people. I said, color don't matter here on this field. We a team. And I'm betting on you. I'm betting on you. I believed in you when nobody believed in you. You understand what I'm saying? That's an abusive relationship that we're in. We're in an abusive relationship running around with shades. So when you see Ray Lewis, his eye busted, both of his eyes, you know, his lip busted, both of his eyes black, he got shades on saying, Master, love me. He still love me. He still, at least he loved me. He beat me. He used me. He abused me. I jumped when he said jump, but he still loved me. See, look what he gave me. Look at the stuff he gave me. Look at the space that he allowed me to coon and buffoon in. You understand what I'm saying? So we're dealing with these type of environmental pressures, and these pressures are along all of the whole way of how you make a slave. This is how you make a slave from birth, from inside of the womb, while they're in the primordial waters of the womb. You make sure that they know when they come out who's in charge. You understand what I'm saying? So you got helicopters flying around. You got sirens, you know, day and night. So your children know what the sirens are. Children know what the helicopter is. They know what gunshots are. So if they know that physically, what's happening emotionally, psychologically, what's happening in the womb of that pregnant woman that has ingested all of these things that's going on. You see what I'm saying? So you come out in compliance. And then they show you what happens with non-compliance. So who's going to stand up after non-compliance? Who going to stand up after Laquan McDonald? You see what I'm saying? For the sisters, who going to stand up after Sandra Bland? But they're not calculating a spirit people with insurrection spirit in them that don't give a damn. They did not calculate Baltimore. They did not calculate Detroit. They did not calculate Philly. They did not calculate New York. They did not count that insurrection spirit that is latent in all of us as African people.
Yes.
They didn't know at August 21st, Master went to bed when he said, you know, he went to bed, he didn't think Nat Turner was going to cut his fucking head off. You understand what I'm saying? They didn't think that when they took George Jackson, that Jonathan Jackson was going to come get him, was going to come to the courthouse to take the judge out to go get his brother by force, 17 years old. See what I'm saying? So they didn't think that George Jackson was going to slip a gun in his joint and they kill him on August the 21st. So Nat Turner's insurrection, and you got George Jackson assassination in St. Quentin on the same day. You don't think they know what time it is? We need to know what time it is, but we out of time because we thinking about time, and we ain't dealing with what's natural. You know what I'm saying? You brought it out when you said you seen everything else. You said you even seen a white person, you know, respond when they see a black person. And we ain't got no self-preservation mechanism because we ain't living. We dying.
Yeah,
so all we being exposed to is our death. You know what I'm saying? All we being exposed to is our death. We ain't got opportunity to live yet. We don't even know what living is. We ain't been living. We ain't been living. We can't even point to examples of us living in this place. All we've been doing is dying in this place. All of the strides, everything that happened, all the inventions, everything that happened, that was signs of life. But now there's no proof of life. Only thing we know how to do is die. And we want to die painlessly. You know what I'm saying? So we got prescription drugs. We got all kind of drugs. We numbing ourselves because we don't want to feel nothing.
Listen here. Everybody that's listening, you got to allow that spirit of Nat. I don't even like calling him Turner because that ain't his last name. You got to embody the spirit of our ancestors who have fought for our liberation, who have fought for our freedom, have fought for our right to be who we are. Listen, you can't be afraid of what might happen to you because whether you stand up for your people or not, the same thing can happen to you. Like he brought up Laquan McDaniel or a Mike Brown or Eric Garner or Trayvon Martin.
Right.
No matter if you're trying to do the right thing or not, no matter if you have a license to carry your weapon like Philando Castile or not, they will still kill you. So to think that you're just going to just continue to live on doing what you call the right thing, hoping that nothing ever happens to you, afraid to step up and fight because you're afraid that if you do something, something may happen to you. No matter what you do, something may happen to you. You might be the most coolest, right-acting Negro PM in the world, but once they get done with you, they always going to do something to you. They always going to harm you. They use Stacey Dash so much to talk crazy about black people. Then when they got through with what they do, they fired her. Now she's looking for a job somewhere else. So either you get harmed with a cause, or get harmed for doing for nothing. Everybody is that living, everybody is going to die, but what is your life going to mean? What are people going to say about you? Yes, you have the right to sit on your hands. You have the right to not fight, but you do not have the right to put your children's life in jeopardy. That's what this thing is about. How dare you think that you can sit back and not fight when you got children who might grow up to be murdered? Well, you got children that might grow up to be Emmett Till or Trayvon Martin. You don't have the right to sit on your hands and not fight when you got children. You do. No black person has the right to hold back the next generation from what they should be having because we are afraid to fight. So I'm telling you all, listen, that not only is the spirit of Nat going to come in as fighting our oppressors, but it's also getting ready to come back and fighting you. Anybody who does not want to fight with us, you are a hindrance to the cause, and you will be treated like an enemy. So if you are afraid of them, it's going to be a time where you are going to be afraid of us. So whose side do you want to be on?
Y'all in here dropping that fire, man.
Man. I just get going. But brothers, I got another appointment I gotta get to.
For sure. But well, we definitely appreciate you, Mitch, man. You know,
I appreciate y'all having me on and everybody